Warrior Sound here at Monte Vista High School in Danville, California, in a celebration of Draymond Green, the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA, and the Executive of the Year, Bob Myers, as Tim Roy is the MC of our event today. And let's listen in as they get things started.
We can get everybody to be kind of quiet now. We're going to get this started today.
Let's welcome the two gentlemen that are sitting up here with me. My name, by the way, is Tim Roy, and I am the voice of the Golden State Warriors for the last 22 years, one of the best jobs anybody could ever have. And the recently crowned NBA Executive of the Year, the second time in 3 years. Let's welcome Bob Myers. A little Mustang love there for you, I think. That's what that is. And the first player in Warriors franchise history to earn the NBA Kia Defensive Player of the Year, Draymond Green. We have some folks we want to introduce today, some folks that are here to share in this celebration. George David from Wasserman, who is Draymond's representative. The ever-present manager and friend, Jaquiel Jaycox, who always has a seat in the front row. I don't know how he does that, but he always does. All the thanks to Larry and Maureen, Bob's mom and dad. They're right down here, and we're getting to do this a lot, aren't we? You know, because this is kind of getting to be a habit. Bob's brother is here, Jeff and his family, his sister Kelly and their family all here today. And, of course, the aforementioned Bill Power is one of Bob Myers' high school coaches. And, of course, Jeff Corey, his varsity coach, is here today. In fact, Jeff, come on up. Let's get another chair up here. Come on up the dais. So. I think we need to find out a couple of stories about Bob in high school, Draymond. I think that's... And that's not right, though. You know, you're here, you're on home turf, you got your coach here. We need to balance this out a little bit because, you know, Draymond, you went to Saginaw High School. What's their nickname?
Day-Day.
No, not your nickname, the school's nickname.
Oh! Trojans. Saginaw High School.
Trojans. Okay. You know, and to make this fair, let's give a special welcome right now for two people who flew all the way here from Saginaw today. Two of your coaches, Lou Dawkins and Julian Taylor. Here they come over here.
Oh, there we go.
And Lou's going to come up and sit on here, so we have a balanced dais here. So we have Draymond's coaches, Bob's coaches. We're ready to go now, I think. So thank you, Lou, for making the trip.
What's up, brother?
Thank you.
So to start off this press conference, and we're going to do it like we have done our press conferences in the past, I'm going to ask a few questions. We do have some members from the press, and you can raise your hand and identify yourself. We'll have some mics for you guys later, and we'll have opportunities for those of you with cameras to get a photo op with the various trophies, so make sure you're around for that. But Bob, I want to start with you, and the question I have for you is that this gentleman sitting to my left, Draymond Green, tell me why you're so excited that Draymond has earned the Kia NBA Defensive Player of the Year award.
Because he deserves it. You know, that's why I'm excited. Sometimes life isn't fair, but this time it was. And he wanted it. He said he wanted it. He showed perseverance because for 2 years he was in that second spot, which I know Draymond doesn't like being in second place. So he got what he deserved, which is the reward and the recognition, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Draymond, why are you so excited that Bob is finally getting his credit?
Because I can take credit for him getting credit now. I told everybody. No, I mean, you know, when you look at the job, you know, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, where he's taken this organization, it's amazing. And I mean, even like this award is great, you know, and I think it still doesn't do justice for the impact that he's had. You know, we're trying to build a dynasty here. And so, you know, the Executive of the Year award is great, but I won't be satisfied till he's headed to the Hall of Fame. That's where I think he's headed, and I'm enjoying sitting back watching it happen.
All right, well done. Now, a lot of times after practice, I'll look over and you guys are having some kind of conversation. What kind of things do you guys talk about? Talk a little bit about the relationship that you and Bob have now.
We talk about everything. From him talking to me about my technical fouls to, you know, you name it. Talking about the league, talking about our team, like the pulse of our team, everyday life, fatherhood. I mean, you name it. It's great to have someone like that. When you look around, I don't know if there's many, if any, players that can say they have the relationship with the general manager, president of their team that I have with Bob. And I think it's special because he's so much more than just that for me. Like, if I had to rank, you know, in my life what he means to me, the general manager and president thing probably comes last. You know, it's a life coach. It's a, you know, big brother relationship. I mean, you name it, he's all of that for me. So, and when you look at life, all those things end up becoming more important than basketball. And so I'm more thankful for those things than the actual, you know, GM, because he just helped me in life in general.
And Bob, you've talked about this many times, that this whole process, yes, it's basketball, and it's about putting the ball in the basket more than the other team, but it's also about the relationships that you built.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she's not here right now, and the job, any job, everybody that has a job, is hard. Everybody's job, whatever job you have, it's hard. Whatever you're doing, it's tough. This job is hard. I could not do this job without my wife's support, without my kids. I don't like missing father-daughter camping trips. I don't like missing the things that matter the most. So to do that, I better care a lot about this and the people I work with. And without my wife, without my kids, and my kids are getting old enough where they ask me, Daddy, why do you have to take that phone call when Draymond Green's calling me at 9 o'clock at night? But you know what? That's what it is. And without them, I couldn't do this. My mom and dad, when they found out that I was getting this job, they bought season tickets. Most mom and dads would say, can you get me tickets? My mom and dad bought season tickets. One of my best friends is Jason's in the stand. He bought tickets. Those are the people in my life that matter to me. Draymond's one of those people. So before I just want to thank the people, Tim, while I have an opportunity to do it. You know, Joe Lacob taking a chance on me 6 years ago. Draymond, our players, performing and giving everything. I could never do what they do on the basketball court. I played on this court, and it wasn't anything that special, just so you know. It was my freshman freshman high school coach, he seriously said to me, he said, we are better if you don't shoot. And so,
just so you guys know, your life can turn in a good way. Just, you know, you keep sticking with it. But, you know, the people in my life, like I said, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, who's more than a coach, he's a friend. Guys like Rick Welts, who I get to work with, everybody in our organization. And beyond that, this award means something to me because my peers voted for me.
Right.
I have tremendous respect for every other general manager in the NBA. It's a very hard job, and they all work really hard, no matter what a team's record is. So I want to thank those guys for voting for me. It's, you know, I appreciate everything that they do and all the work they put in. So, you know, Tim, I had to jump the gun and say those things.
That's right.
But what does Draymond mean to me? I don't even think about him as a basketball player. I think about him as a friend. He's going to be a friend of mine for the rest of my life. I want to win championships with him. I want him to win as many awards as he can. But if you'd ask me, what are we talking about? We're talking about life. But if you live a good life, you get these things happen to you. You treat people right. You work hard. You have a passion for what you do. You know, and he embodies that more than anybody. I love his authenticity. I love what he brings. And you know what? Give me guys like that in a company, an organization, and you will get trophies. You will earn respect. You will win. So I'm fortunate to know him. I don't know how our lives collided, a guy from Saginaw and a guy from Alamo, California. But we're here. And that's what makes life so amazing, is that it can bring people like Draymond and me together that came from the opposite backgrounds. That's great. Didn't grow up in Alamo.
Now, you mentioned about playing here, and I'm going to beg forgiveness from both of you guys.
Oh, sorry, can I one more thing?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I want to thank the people I work with, too. This is not an award that's mine alone. It's people like Travis Schlenk, who left to go to Atlanta. It's Larry Harris. It's Jerry West. It's Kirk Lacob. It's Kent Lacob. It's David Kelly. It's Johnny West. It's all the people. I don't sit in a room and make decisions, just like Draymond would thank his teammates for winning Defensive Player of the Year. So all the people I work with, this is your award, too. It's not mine. It's ours.
That's well said. But since you talked about your high school days, I'm going to ask you guys, both forgive me for doing this, but we've got your coaches up here. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about Bob, the player. And you were telling me a great story about Bob, and I think he was being very humble up here a moment ago. But tell me a little bit about that story and what was he like to coach?
Yeah, when I first met Bob, he was I had his older brother, 3 years older, Jeff, and Bob was this like a 5'7", 90-pound eighth grader. And he was just a guy. It was great that he was at summer camp and playing basketball and played freshman basketball and played JVs as a sophomore, and we had a pretty darn good team. And then all of a sudden, springtime of his sophomore year, we started playing AAU, and Bill Powers was coaching him, and he kept telling me about Bob and the things he was doing, offensive rebound, a lot of the stuff Draymond does. That's what Bob did. He was growing. And then he fell in love with the weight room, and he had a buddy that was his age, Kurt Hodge, and those guys worked out so hard. And by the time he showed up for his junior year, he was a monster. I mean, he would get rebound after rebound after rebound. That's the good news. The bad news is a lot of times he was rebounding his own misses. And,
that happens to you, too.
And his coach was very animated and disgusted over these misses. Yeah. And, I remember one here. It was incredible. It was right on that basket. We had some great centers in our league. Bobby Hall, 6'11", kid went to LSU. We had Mark Madsen, who played in the NBA for 10 years at San Ramon High. And Bobby had battles with Madsen. He had one here, I remember, right at the end of the half, where we got the ball inside. Bob made a great move, dead layup, miss. I'm looking to go back. Then he's on the other side of the rim, tipping it because he missed it. Then he comes down with it, head fakes, goes up, gets fouled, makes it, and, you know, it was like, that was Bob. I mean, he was a great, great rebounder. And I bet you I said I didn't want him shooting outside the key either. But now I read in Sports Illustrated what a great shooter you are.
Well, that's not really true. I just shoot now. Without you yelling at me, it's a lot more confidence.
You know?
You got to give players confidence.
How about him? They give him more confidence.
Yeah, he's got that issue too. Yeah. You can ask him.
And he yells at his coach too, just like you did.
It's a beautiful relationship.
So, Lou, it's your turn. And first of all, thank you so much for coming all the way out here today. I know Draymond appreciates that so much. But do you have a Draymond high school story for us?
Dre was he was always special. Dre started playing for me when he was 11 or 12 years old. And he was so much taller and bigger than other guys that we played against, especially on the circuit, AAU circuit. I would actually have to carry his birth certificate with me so I can show the opposing team and especially their parents. They were always complaining.
Yeah.
But once he got to high school, he just took over the state. I remember after his sophomore year, we got bailed out early in the state tournament. And immediately after the game, he told the entire team in the locker room, that we will win the championship that following year. And about 4 days later, he called me around 6 o'clock in the morning and got me out to bed and got me in the gym with him and the rest of the players that was on the team. And the next 2 years, we went 54-2, two state championships, national, finished second in the country. And he was just a special talent, very, very intelligent. I remember second week at Michigan State, Coach Izzo called me, and he said, Lou, he said, how in the world did you coach Draymond? And I was like, Coach, I knew you was going to be calling me. I said, what's going on? He said, well, you know, sometimes I'll coach him and, you know, he'll chew me out. And I said, well, Coach, I said, in all honesty, I said, in order for you to handle Dre, I'm going to call his nickname is Day-Day, you know, for those of you who don't know. And I said, you honestly have to put, if you need to chew him out, you have to put your arm around him, walk him off to the side, chew, curse, whatever you got to do to him, and he will come back to the court and lead your team to a championship. And Izzo called me back 3 weeks later and said, Lou, thank you very much for giving me that information. So, Bob, if you got a problem with him, tell Coach Kerr, just put his arm around him and take him to the side. He'll win you about four or five more titles.
Lou, we've never had a problem with Draymond. Never happened. It's model citizen, model teammate.
So at this point, if you're one of the assembled press here and you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get the microphones to you. Identify where your place of work is, and we can start the question and answer process here. But as we're waiting for the first question, Draymond, I wanted to ask you, and Bob mentioned about your teammates, and what are you most proud of on the defensive end from the Warriors and how they've been so good over the last few years?
I'm most proud of the fact that we have the best offense in the NBA. And I don't say that in a cocky way. Like, the facts state that. The eye test states that.
Right.
And you can fall in love with that. And that's honestly what everyone else loves, is they love to see the Steph razzle-dazzle and shoot a three from 35 feet. They love to see KD flying down the court and just pull off a three, or Clay going for 60 in three quarters. Like, that's what everyone loves to see. But the fact that everyone has bought in to what our coaching staff preach on a daily basis about getting it done. Ryan Adams over there, you know, Ryan takes us to his defensive drills every day, and we all hate it, but he knows what it takes for us to be great. And for everyone to buy in on the defensive end of the floor is why you're able to go 16-1, you know, throughout the playoffs, why, you know, you're able to do the things we've done over the last 3 years, because we bought in on that side of the floor. The offense is great, and if we didn't play defense, we'd be just like a lot of other teams in the NBA. Great offense, non-existent on the defense side of basketball. And so for everyone to buy in and understand that and be on the screen together, everybody working hard on that side of the ball, not taking plays off, holding each other accountable, I think that's, you know, that's the ingredients to a championship. And so, if anything, I'm most proud of just guys not falling in love with the offense and understanding that if we want to win championships, we got to get it done on the defense side of the ball.
We have a question from one of the members of the press.
Hi, Lou. Janie McCauley from Associated Press.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Draymond, as a kid at age 11, you know, we've heard from Jason Richardson over time, you know, these guys take a lot of pride in where they grew up in Saginaw and getting, you know, succeeding from there. Did Draymond have a chip on his shoulder as a young kid? And how much pride is there for you to see him do what he's done?
Well, where we come from, you know, what Dre shows every night in games is just passion. You know, you have to be able to be tough, mentally tough and physically tough where we come from. We have a park in Saginaw, it's Vets Park. And for you to get selected or picked at a very young age to be able to play with the older guys, you got to show them guys that you can handle your own. Because you got to talk junk. You know, I'm probably the biggest trash talker in here. You know, Dre probably picked up some from me because when I was coaching him, I used to talk junk to the opposing coach. Because you have to be able to intimidate the opponent. And, you know, I'm an old school guy. You know, I look at Dennis Rodman, probably one of the best intimidators, psycho players out there. And to be able to get into your opponent's head, that's 99% of the game right there. And Dre's the best at it. But from where he comes from, you have to have that passion, that drive to be the best. It's not a chip. You know, I was on Twitter a couple weeks ago, and Dre was naming off the players that got selected in front of him. You know, he takes that as a mission to show every other team in the NBA that they made a mistake. I remember on draft night in Saginaw, you know, I was with Dre at draft night, and you know, I remember a team had just called him and told him that he was going to select him and that for that particular pick, and they didn't. You know, he plays with a passion, the heart to become champions. And every champion, NBA champion out there, any team in the world would love to have him. And, you know, I just take that and just eat it. I love watching him play. I'm his biggest fan. I run around the house. My wife think I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I know what it takes to be a champion, and he possesses all those tendencies.
Next question, I believe, from Ron.
Ron Crutchley from the San Francisco Chronicle. Draymond, I'm curious if you can offer an example of how your relationship with Bob got to this point. Maybe early when you came here, when you started to realize that you guys would be more than player and GM, and why it's kind of worked out the way it has.
I mean, I think, you know, over the course of time, over the course of the last 5 years, you know, we would talk, and then we talk about other things. And a part of me and Bob's relationship was growing with some of the things that I've gone through. You know, when you get suspended from game 5 and he comes sit with you, like, in the Coliseum and watch a baseball game, but he don't have to do that. And yet he leaves the game and come and watch the game with me. It's small things like that that gives you, you know, a love for someone, a respect for someone that can't be touched. And, you know, over the course of the years, we've just gotten closer and closer from, you know, him, me being completely pissed off about something. And I'm like, Bob, I'm about to go nuts. And he's like, yeah, you can. That's the thing. He never tell me, like, no, don't do that. He'll say, yeah, you can. But if I were you, I would do it this way. And I'm like, all right, that makes a little more sense than what I was going to do. But it's never like, don't be you. Don't be who you are. It's never, hey, Bob, like, the league just did this and I'm going nuts in the media right now. All right, well, you can do that. But if you just go say, maybe I should have been better, that'll bode over well with everyone. And I'm like, but I don't want to do that. I want to go say whatever I want. But it's just, he has a way of always knowing what to say in any situation. And over the course of the years, like, that's helped me so much in my life in general, like I said, not just with basketball things, not how you conduct yourself on the floor, how you conduct yourself with the media. It's everyday life. And, I mean, that's love. That bond has just continued to grow.
We have another question.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Draymond, when you were a rookie, I remember Mark Jackson was your coach, and he said to me one day, he said, something I never heard a coach say about a rookie. He said, this guy has the IQ to be a coach in the NBA. I don't mean when he retires. I mean, like, in a year or two. He's that good. Now, my question to you, and other coaches have since said that, but at what point did you know you had the ability to see the game as you do, and where did it come from?
So for me, I was blessed to have, starting with my uncle and with Coach Dawkins, You know, and growing up in a city like Saginaw, where everybody loved basketball, they just want to see you play. A lot of people would just roll the balls out and say, hey, like, just go play. And, like, yeah, you need to do that sometimes because it just teaches you how to play basketball. I always say, like, a guy who always works out, he really can't play basketball because it's a little different when you're actually playing. And I was blessed to have coaches growing up that they rolled the basketballs out enough, but they took the time to teach me fundamentals. You know, Coach Dawkins taught me help side defense when I was 12. And here I am, like, I think I'm pretty good on the ball defender, but I think I'm a spectacular help defender. And so that didn't start, you know, 3 years ago. It didn't start 7 years. I learned help side defense when I was 12. I don't know how many people can say that. Nor do I know if I want to teach a 12-year-old help side defense. It's pretty boring, but it's helped me get to the point where I am today, and I'm thankful for those lessons. And so from that point on, it's just all about building the IQ, you know. And, I mean, I was just blessed to have the right coaches and that actually taught me the game of basketball, and it was never just go play. Because I knew how to play. Like, I was bigger than everybody, but I could handle the ball. I was the tallest guy on the floor, but I was playing the point guard. I knew how to play, but actually having to learn the game and then being able to apply that, it helped me as I move further along, because guys continue to get better and better. They continue to get stronger. They continue to get faster. They continue to jump higher. And the one thing that has always been great for me is my brain. And so I'm thankful for, you know, the way I was taught the game.
This gentleman here in the third row.
C.J. Peterson, SFA. This is a two-parter for Draymond. Obviously not being the recipient of this Defensive Player of the Year award for the past two seasons, is it everything, you know, you thought it would be or imagined it would be winning that award? And also, of all the plays that it took to win that award, is there any one that sticks out in your mind that kind of encapsulates your season as the league's best defensive player?
I think, you know, when I look at this award, it's amazing. Obviously, it's something that I wanted to win. But in saying that, I can't thank my teammates enough, because the whole narrative coming into this season was the Warriors' defense is going to drop. You know, they lost guys. Their defense won't be that good. And it's only one basketball. And by the way, the defense won't be good either. So how are they going to win? And then everyone lock in on that side of the ball, and we're the best defense or number two defense in the league or whatever it is. But if we're the number 12 defense in the league, I don't win Defensive Player of the Year. And so it's one of those things where, yeah, I'm thankful and, you know, had to make some plays. But I'm thankful more so for my teammates, because they knew how important it was to me, but also how important that side of the ball is to me. And there's never a night where guys are out there on that side quitting. And so that allowed me to win this award, because everyone's locked in and we have the best defense. And then, you know, the glory comes with that. And if I had to pick one play, I don't know. Atlanta maybe. The block on Schroeder and then Bazemore. It was fun because the ball actually went off both of them both times. It was like, oh, I blocked your shot and it hits you out of bounds. So that was like a fun moment for me.
This gentleman over here.
R.C. Davis, Warriors Radio and Warriors.com. Bob, early 90s, did you ever think roaming these halls, running sprints on this court, as confident a guy as you are and you've always set goals, did you ever think you'd be here, a two-time champion, executive of the year?
No way. When we would lose a summer league game, this guy would, we would come back late at night, and we had this thing that you'd say, it was called slides till you die, and you'd slide along the baseline, and then you'd slide diagonal down there, and we would literally do defensive slides for an hour and a half on a Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Good times.
So, look, this is a serious story. This actually happened. Lou, you probably did stuff like that, too, I can imagine.
We used to sing when we ran.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. I loved it. It was a great memory. But no, RC, I don't know. I mean, Draymond, you could ask him the same question. You know, growing up, the only thing I knew was, and what I know now is, I love basketball. I didn't know basketball would put me here. And to be honest, this didn't have to be where I ended up. The biggest tragedy in my life would be if somebody said, you can't watch or play basketball anymore. He's lucky. He gets to play in the best league and on the best team in the NBA. I wasn't good enough to do that, but I just want to be around it. I want to be around people like Draymond and Steve Kerr and Curry, Durant, Clay, all our guys, Andre, the whole group. That was the only thing I knew. This stuff, I mean, this is why you do it, and to give back to the fans. But growing up here, going to this high school, I married a girl from Monta Vista, sort of my brother. I guess we don't travel too far away from our roots. But I didn't. But our motto up here, they took it down. It used to say, if you believe it, you can achieve it. I wish I could say I believed it, but you guys should do that, though, by the way. But, you know, set high goals. I just didn't do it, but it's possible. You can make things happen.
Well, now we're thank everybody for their questions. We're going to have a photo op up here with Draymond and Bob and the trophies. But I want to thank Jeff and thank Lou for coming up here and sharing some stories with us. And let's give it up for the Executive of the Year, Bob Myers. The Kia Defensive Player of the Year, Draymond Green, part of your 2017 NBA champion, Golden State Warriors.